There are a number of ways of looking at Psalm 150 that we're focusing on this morning. One way is to see how it gives some very helpful answers to the where of praise, the why of praise, the how of praise, and the who of praise. So first of all, the where of praise. Many other parts of the Bible make clear that we can and should pray and worship the Lord on our own and in our homes. But this psalm focuses on two key places where there's a special focus on the praise that can be offered to God by the Lord's people together. First of all, praise God in his sanctuary. By the time this psalm was written, the first temple to the Lord in Jerusalem had probably been completed, specifically designed to encourage people to gather together, to pray, to seek God's forgiveness, to learn about him, and to praise the Lord together. Before God's people were established enough in the Promised Land, they had a temporary portable accommodation suitable for worship, the tabernacle. For us, purpose-built church buildings aren't an essential part of the Christian faith, but they are nice to have. And of course, one of their main purposes is the same, to enable God's people to gather together to praise the Lord as we learn about him. As well as praising him together here on earth, though, the psalm writer also reminds us God is praised in heaven as well. And we can one day have the privilege of joining in that heavenly throng of praise. What we do in church together is just a tiny foretaste of the worship of God that each believer in the Lord will one day be a part of. So we started with the where of praise. Next, the why of praise. The whole book of Psalms, the whole of the Bible gives us all kinds of reasons to worship God. Psalm 150 gives us two very brief summaries of why we praise him. First of all, praise him for his mighty deeds. In the Old Testament, the two main focuses were on God's amazing work in creating the world around and everything in it. And then secondly, on his rescuing his people, especially the time when he enabled them to escape from Egypt and to eventually lay claim to live in the land he'd promised. As well as having in mind those two mighty works, we as Christians praise God for the eternal salvation he's achieved through the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The human race had rebelled against him and deserved only God's anger. In his great love, though, he acted to save us. We praise God for his mighty deeds, and as well as that, for his excellent greatness, the psalm writer encourages us. Even if God hadn't done such a wonderful thing in rescuing us, he would still be a great God, worthy of our praise. People sometimes object to the idea that God specifically tells us to praise him. They complain that makes him seem needy or big-headed. But praise is good for us. It reinforces our joy in the Lord. When the England team win, particularly if it's a very good game, a good proportion of those who watched it will have wanted to remark on it to others the next day. Not that we'd have much original to say to each other, if we're honest, but praising our team's performance is very much revisiting the joy that we felt. And so it is when we praise God together. Almost everyone in the building already knows the Christian teaching that there is a great God who's done amazing things for us. But we taste again the joy of the good news about the Lord as we praise him. And even if God hadn't done such a wonderful thing in rescue us, well, the truth is, he'd still be a great God. He'd still be worthy of our praise. Next, the how of praise. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Some people see the kind of music group we sometimes use in our worship with different instruments as a new idea. But on the contrary, it's clear that the psalm writer was encouraging people to use whatever instruments were available to them to play in their worship and their praise. Lutes and harps, strings and pipes can play very quietly and sedately. The mention of tambourines and clashing cymbals suggests too there were times when their worship was quite vigorous as well. We can enjoy a huge variety of different types of music making, including using different instruments to accompany us as we praise God together. The where of praise, the why of praise, the how of praise, finally, the who of praise. And the writer of Psalm 150 concludes, "Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." And that turns out very appropriately to be not just the end of the psalm, but the very last verse in the book of Psalms, the very last verse in that section of our Bibles. We might speculate whether or not those exact words were chosen to include all the animals that breathe. Maybe it was. After all, a couple of psalms earlier, number 148, goes further in seeing every single part of God's creation, declaring the wonders of the one who made it, simply by living out their different existences. "Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, bees and all beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds." Whether or not something similar was meant in the psalm we're focusing on today, there's no doubt the writer means for every single human being throughout the world to hear the call to turn to praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise him. In Old Testament times, God's focus was on a particular nation, the people of Israel. They knew, though, that God was the maker of everything and everyone. And the psalm writer deliberately doesn't just call his own people to worship, but the whole of the world. In the New Testament, as the Bible concludes, there's a delight how in heaven there are a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And what a glorious foretaste of that here on earth we can enjoy, even as we look forward to the even greater prospect of being part of that great throng in worship to God in heaven. Because even here and now, we can be part of God's people, celebrating in praise together as we remember who God is and what he has done for us. Amen. From page 5.